Hakuin's Song of Zazen. All beings by nature are Buddha, as ice by nature is water. Apart from water, there is no ice. Apart from beings, no Buddha. How sad that people ignore the near and search for truth afar, like someone in the midst of water crying out in thirst, like a child of a wealthy home wandering among the poor. This piece culminates with a stanza that has a line that reads, "Truly, is anything missing now? Nirvana is right here before our eyes. This very place is the lotus land. This very body, the Buddha." So I love that Hakuin asks it as a question. Is anything missing now? So we recently had a Zazen Kai and had a discussion. We talked about a different koan, and the koan raised this line for one of the participants who shared it with the group. And there are times where we are sort of manifesting the appreciation body. The Sambho Gakkhaya, the sense of everything shining as the Dharma. And when we are practicing and that is what is arising for us, this line feels so appreciatory, so such a beautiful expression of how we may feel in our practice. Just sitting, feeling our breath, hearing the sound of the heat in the building, which sounds for some reason like water running down the roof. Very beautiful. And just receiving this moment, receiving the universe. No problems. And of course, sometimes the Dharma, the universe, manifests differently. Sometimes the answer is, yes, something is missing now. It may be that we've lost someone we love, and that person is now missing. It may be a child who is literally starving. Something is missing. And it's so important for us in our practice to recognize that we are not trying to remove ourselves from the world of that includes suffering. We are part of this world. And for many people, and certainly for ourselves, from time to time, something is missing. We could go into a kind of spiritual bypass here, a place of denial where our compassion shuts down, where we don't recognize the pain and suffering in our own hearts or in the world. And this would not be good, I don't think, for the world. I think it is important that we are awake to the joy of our lives, to the sound of the water running, to the beauty that is present and available to us. But also to the pain that's in the world, to the hardships that people endure, to the hardships that we endure. So our practice is about receiving whatever is here. And the answer to the question, is anything missing now, will, if we are honest, will change for us from one moment to the next. And Hakuin is trying to point to something that exists in a way beyond these relative truths. I want to highlight here that these are relative truths. It is painful to lose someone we love. It is painful to feel alone. It is painful to recognize that there are migrants traveling through the world who are homeless, who are seeking refuge. And it's all too easy to close our eyes to these things if we come from a place of privilege. That is not the Bodhisattva path. The Bodhisattva path is includes a vow to save all beings, to allow ourselves to be touched by this world, not to turn away, to do what we can, to take action in whatever ways we can. For each of us, that will be different. For some of us, that may be taking some kind of political action. For others, it may be more local. It may be ways that we are interacting with those in our lives. But one way or another, we can remain awake. Hakuin was known to have suffered. The author of this text is known to have traveled through hell realms. In his own writings about himself, he describes these hell realms. He's also known to have moments of great insight into the Dharma. A very passionate practitioner and author and teacher. Someone who gave his life to this looking. And I think that he is onto something in this piece when he says that we search far and wide for what is right before us. So without denying these relative truths of our lives and of the lives of others, these stories, these narratives, these observations about the state of the world, without denying these things, without denying the pain that arises in observing these things, we can turn toward what is here now. We can turn toward what exists beyond all of our thoughts. Beyond all of the arisings, these mental formations that tell us the state of the world, that tell us the state of our own lives. Again, without denying those mental formations, we can recognize them, receive them, be touched by them, take action because of them, and be open beyond them to what is here now. To the boundless universe that is shining here now, in this moment. And this is nourishing, and we need this. We need to be nourished. We don't only have to live in the pain of our suffering. We can also receive our breath. We can also receive the air, the sound of water, the sensation of our knees on the cushion, the starlight in the heavens. We can even receive our hearts, which may be trembling with vulnerability and tenderness. And our hearts, our trembling hearts, the actual sensation of them, beyond the stories that we tell. These trembling hearts are deeply beautiful. Sometimes the stories can actually prevent us from touching into the movement and energy of our hearts. We can get so completely eclipsed by these relative truths that we can lose sight and lose touch with the sensations of our bodies, the sensations of our hearts. Maybe sometimes we get caught in the stories to avoid the sensations of our hearts. So when Hakuin says, "How sad that people ignore the near and search for truth afar, like someone in the midst of water crying out in thirst, like a child of a wealthy home wandering among the poor." He's inviting us to enter into our actual lives, our actual lives. What is offered here? In this very moment. Or as he says in the closing, this very place is the lotus land, this very body, the Buddha. Yes, we can aim toward a better world. We can aim toward better lives for ourselves. We can aim toward goals. And these are not mutually exclusive. These relative truths, these aims, these desires, these heartbreaks, these stories, these news stories, these stories that we tell ourselves. We don't have to get rid of them to practice. That would be bad. In a way, these stories are what connect us to the world, what give us purpose and meaning. They are very important. They are what motivate us to serve. And that's not all that we are. Hakuin is trying to invite us to also acknowledge the way things are here, beyond our stories, before our stories. to be nourished from the ground of our being. And it is always on offer. Sometimes we call this the absolute truth. And of course, one folds into the other, because soon we can start telling a story about any of these things that are here before the story. And then the relative truths can slip away, and the absolute emerges, boundless and beyond any story. Like the foot in front and the foot behind in walking. But to realize that we are always nourished and fed by this presence, that it's reliable, is so important and is really at the heart of our practice in a way, because it sustains us so that we can engage in the hard work of our lives and in the hard work necessary in the world. This is good news. Now, it can make us feel ashamed. My gosh, I'm not able to live in that place. Well, none of us are. But that's okay. Still, we can know through touching into it from time to time that this is the way things are. The universe always offering itself to us, always nourishing us in this way, whether we see it or not. And we begin to develop a kind of faith and resilience. Equanimity, steadfastness in the face of these arising mental formations. There's a stability in some sense beneath it. The stability is not an idea that we can hold on to. It's actuality. It's just presence. It's funny because even though presence is always disappearing, the present always becoming the past, it's also always here. And totally reliable. And in some sense, that's how the past and future are part of now. So, is anything missing now?